Next case for argument, United States v. Rubio Quintero. Mr. Robertson.
May it please the court. My name is Donovan Robertson, and I am counsel for one of the appellants, Victor Rubio Quintero. We have filed, along with Ismael Quintero, a joint brief in this case, and I will be arguing on behalf of both appellants. This appeal involves the application, or rather the lack of application, of Section 3B1.2 of the sentencing guidelines to the sentence which was imposed by Judge Shadid with respect to both of these appellants. They were convicted of conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine. Both gentlemen received the same sentences. Both had the same sentencing profile based on the same amount of drugs. Both gentlemen qualified for the safety valve. Appellants asked for and were denied application of a minor role adjustment. Briefly speaking, the role which the appellants felt they were entitled to the minor role application for was that of being couriers, drug couriers, or mules, as the term is used. They were part of a transporting some methamphetamine from the Chicago area.
But this was a very small group, wasn't it?
It was a small group as far as people who were disclosed on the record. Judge Shadid referred to three persons: Mr. Ahumada, who was the person who originated the drug load in. He started the transportation.
But with such a small group, how can you say these two were, you know, below average in participation? Especially they seem to be very close to the boss, right, to brother?
Well, actually, I think Mr. Ahumada was closer to the boss than were the Quinteros. It was Mr. Ahumada who bought the car for brother in Arizona. It was Mr. Ahumada who then drove it to New Mexico, where the drugs were loaded on the car. He drove it back to Arizona, made the arrangements to pick the car up at Lowe's, and he drove the car from Arizona up to Chicago. He was arrested, of course, on the way in our federal district and proceeded up to the South Chicago area where Mr. Ahumada met the two Quinteros.
Minor participation, it's not an absolute, it's relative to the crime and the scope of the conspiracy and so on. And if you have a small conspiracy, the members are less likely to be minor participants.
I think necessarily that would be so. If we have fewer participants, it's obviously harder to be a minor participant if there are only two members in a conspiracy. Nonetheless, we assert in our brief, and I think it's true in this case, that both Quinteros are less culpable than Mr. Ahumada.
Well, I don't think less culpable is the right test, right? Because you're always going to have differences in culpability and end up with everybody a minor participant, right?
Well,
and what do you have? You have a kingpin. You have a boss.
Correct.
And everybody else, you know, reports to him and bows in his presence. Does that make them all minor participants?
No, it doesn't. It gives him an aggravating role. And the law says that we compare to the average participant.
The boss here could get a role as a king, could get extra punishment as a kingpin. I guess he couldn't. There aren't enough subordinates. But why does that make these minor participants?
Well, I think, Judge, when you look at the sentencing guideline itself, and particularly Application Note 3, It speaks in terms of someone who delivers a load of drugs on one occasion.
But I just have to interrupt you here, because the thing that has worried me, and maybe you can tell me this is wrong, is that although assertions to that effect are made in this case by counsel, I don't see any proffer of evidence to show that these guys had been involved only on this occasion, or that they, or how much money they were paid, or anything. They didn't testify about that, as far as I know, and I don't, you know, where's the evidence? Because the burden of proof is on them.
That's true. And they did not proffer. They did not give evidence.
So with no evidence, how can they show they're entitled to, or how can we find clear error on the part of the district court?
Well, I think then that invites this court and the court below to speculate as to criminal conduct that's not part of the record nor contained in the PSR.
Well, but if we're in the realm of speculation and the burden of proof is on the defendants, then the government, then the decision not to give this break has to be upheld, doesn't it? And the defendants have to show they've earned it, and if they don't show that, then it doesn't get given.
The defendants have to show by a preponderance of the evidence. And
there's no evidence, so they didn't do it.
Well, there was the evidence that was in the PSR and the evidence that upon which Judge Shadid sentenced.
But I didn't think the PSR went into how often, you know, or how extensively these two men were involved with the drug trade and how often they had done things.
That is true. It didn't. There was no evidence of that. Again, no proffer, no evidence.
What was their destination? Where was Quintero? We only know they got arrested as soon as they basically took possession of the drugs. We don't know where they were going to take them, do we?
Again, that's not clear. We've always assumed it was Chicago since they were there, but that's not clear from the record.
Well, they weren't the last resort. They weren't.
No.
No. So if there's somebody that they knew that may be more important than anybody in this whole transaction, that's why when you look at a minor participant, we don't know. They may be the only ones who knew who that other person was, the one with perhaps the money.
Yes, that's true. And again, without a proffer or their willingness to give evidence, that is a difficulty. Our concern, the appellant's concern here, has been when looking at the cases and the cases cited by government counsel, is this use of the word necessary or integral, essential. It seems almost that the court's applying a but-for test, that but-for a courier, this couldn't happen. And in a sense that's true, but it's true of everyone. And logically taken, it seems that if we apply that rule, the essential, integral, important, if everyone is essential, integral, or important, then this role is never going to be applied, because everyone's role, but for everyone's role, from the person collecting the chemicals, cooking it, transporting it, is going to be an integral role, and therefore, logically, no one's ever going to qualify for this sort of reduction. I see that I'm into my rebuttal time. Are there any questions?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you.
Ms. Mullen?
May it please the Court, Counsel, Linda Mullen on behalf of the United States. The sole issue for this court today is to determine whether or not the district court clearly erred in denying this minor role adjustment. In other words, whether or not you believe that a mistake was made. You have a firm conviction that a mistake was made. And of course, as has been pointed out by the panel, the defendants bore the burden in the district court of demonstrating that they were substantially less culpable than an average participant in this conspiracy. This is a relative inquiry that the judge must make. The judge is to assess the totality of the facts in the case. It's a very fact-driven inquiry. And after looking at all those facts, discern whether or not these defendants were not less culpable, but substantially less culpable than the average participant. Now, Brother, the kingpin, is not an average participant. He's a leader here. We know almost nothing about the ultimate buyers in Chicago. We don't know their identity. We don't know how involved they were in this. So we look at Mr. Amudaba to determine whether or not these defendants were substantially less culpable. Now, the defendants want to argue that they were unsophisticated compared to him, that they carried the drugs a shorter distance, that they were intermediary couriers. But saying it so doesn't make it so. And when you look at the record here, as the district court pointed out, the defendants traveled from Arizona to Chicago to position themselves to accept these drugs. They were directed by the kingpin on the front end to make that trip to be able to accept the drugs on the front end. They were the ones that Brother entrusted to meet with the ultimate buyer. In that sense, they did provide that essential link. And that, in some ways, I understand what Mr. Donovan is saying when he says at some point these words necessary, essential, integral can all sort of bleed together. And what do we really mean? But as I was thinking through this, I think that when we talk about something that's integral, it's maybe less fungible. And so you have Mr. Ahumada driving these drugs across country, but he really didn't have any more sophisticated role than that, whereas the defendants were responsible for making contact with him once he arrived, for reserving this motel room that they directed him to and transported him to, for directing him to remain in the hotel room, and then taking possession of Brother's car that contained the drugs and the money, and ultimately delivering that to the buyer. So they did provide that necessary insulation between the cross-country courier and the ultimate buyer here. We would submit that that is that essential link. That is why they are not substantially less culpable than Mr. Ahumada. And we would ask this court to affirm the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mullen. Mr. Robertson, have anything further?
Please.
Okay, and you were appointed, were you not? Yes, well, we thank you very much for your efforts on behalf of your time, and we thank Ms. Mullen as well. Next.